and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Biggest moral front to America. John King asking questions. How dare you?
How dare you, Frankie?
That is disgusting. Immoral.
Despicable. Frankie. Close to despicable because you're right near me.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Why, who is that disembodied voice I hear? It must be Friday.
Good morning, children, for another slow news week.
Holy crap.
We had to wear helmets from all the breaking news yesterday. Good morning, sexy nice. Liberal John Fugelsang.
Good morning, kids.
You killed on Ed last night, by the way. You're great.
Oh, thank you
Yay.
So much.
Yay! Yay on the Ed Schultz Show on MSNBC, sexy liberal John Fugelsang.
Well, thank you. Yes, he was asking about you. My God, that man has it for you.
Well,
good Lord.
You know, shh, don't tell Wendy. Well, we have an he has an open marriage.
No,
I guess I can say it now.
Don't.
Oh, just with me. Just with me.
Does Wendy know this?
Yes, it's an open marriage.
You know, 85% of American women in open marriages don't know it yet.
Yeah, it should be noted that he was cheating for several years before he asked for permission to cheat.
Yeah.
And that was what I did before, frankly. Frankly,
that,
I don't care.
That was mistress number one who became wife number two when he was cheating with mistress number two who became wife number three who wants to be first lady.
Yes, yeah. But the real moral of friend, as you know, is being asked about it. I mean, what? Activate angry little attack muffin.
How dare you, frankly? Ask me questions in a debate, frankly.
This was a thing of beauty.
Yeah.
He did his usual play. It's the media that's disgusting and immoral.
Right.
Your ex-wife gave an interview to ABC News and another interview with the Washington Post, and this story has now gone viral on the internet.
Lying,
in it, she says that you came to her in 1999
She's
at
lying.
A time when you were having an affair. She says you asked her, sir, to enter into an open marriage.
Lying whore.
Would you like to take some time to respond to that?
No.
No,
but I will.
By the way, did you see
what a Saul Alinsky question? Yeah.
Did you see Mitt Romney tried to steal, you know, Gingrich's act on the tax return? It just fell flat.
Yeah, I'm so outraged.
Are you gonna release your tax returns?
You
he goes, maybe. Like that snarky kind of thing. People booed.
Yeah.
Like, oh, Mittens, just stop it.
It just really fell. Boom.
God,
yeah, but every time Mitt talks about my wife of 42 years, Anne, you know that's twisting the knife in Newt.
Yeah.
Newt just wants to say, yeah, but I don't hate my dog. I put him on the roof.
They all pointed out that they were married for 30, 40, 50 years.
Even Ron Paul did it. 54 years.
Yeah. I've been married 147 years.
And then they should have turned and just gone, Newt. All right, these super PACs are already going crazy.
Hey there, looking to spice up life in your boudoir? Then head on out to the new Frank Lee Triple X Plex. This weekend, Frank's offering 25% off all new major video titles like Moneyballs, Whore Horse, and Tinker Tailor Soldier Buy. Be sure to check out Frank Lee's adult toy collection with such big sellers as The Trickle Down, The Patriot Missile, and The Job Creator. Mention you heard this ad and get an additional 15% off anything in our new Santorum section.
Yeah.
Interested in earning a few dollars? Ask about our openings in part-time janitorial work. Come to Frank Lee's Triple X Flex on Highway 41, right next to Rick Perry's Country Bunker.
This is Frank Lee.
Oh, Frank Lee.
Come on out. You'll be glad you came, Frank Lee.
Ew. Ew. Mike and Raleigh. Ew. I'm eating breakfast.
Sick man, Mike and Raleigh. Lovably, wonderfully sick.
Yes.
So John Fugel's saying, what the? The cattywampusness has just gotten more cattywampus in
it's
South
amazing.
Carolina.
They hate it, and that's the final four, so I want there to be an immunity idol at the next debate. I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah, sure.
These guys hate each other so much, and they're not all auditioning for vice president anymore. They're really going after each other. It's wonderful.
But now it's anybody's guess, right? What's playing or what's not in South Carolina? It's, you know, you think, is this going to hurt Newt Gingrich or not? I mean, these are evangelical Christians.
Look, so far it hasn't. He came out last night at the debate after he insulted John King for asking the question.
Yeah.
And then he denied it flatly.
He
so that's
his
it.
Wife
it's
a liar.
Yeah.
He called her a liar. So it's a done deal. I mean, he attacked her morality, her credibility. And frankly, these people just don't really care when it's on our side.
Yeah. Yeah, this whole story in case...
These are people who run the Confederate flag because it makes them feel good about themselves. That's the morality we're dealing with South Carolina Republicans.
Right, when Gingrich plays the race card, that's when his numbers go up. It's not like, you know, you think, oh, is it the Bain stuff or the tax stuff for Romney that's hurting him? Or no, is it just the blatant race card?
Well, Bill Press is riding back from the debate with a bunch of Republicans and said even they were saying, it was kind of over the top. He started out okay, but then he just kept hammering it.
Gingrich?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Barack Obama 2012 campaign should send John King a fruit basket for making Newt Gingrich look so good last night. Because we're comedians. We want this thing to go on as long as possible. We don't want Mitt Romney to knock it all up, to wrap it all up this weekend. And that's why Stephen Colbert has got Herman Cain joining him for his super PAC for their rally this weekend. Herman Cain signing on to do a comedy appearance with Stephen Colbert shows either he is completely ignorant or he knows he's hurting Romney by doing it.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I bet he was counseling Newt Gingrich. That night on the phone. Could you give me some more euphemisms
just
for lying
kind of
bitches?
All lying bitches on the host. Unsubstantiated lies that are probably not true, I think.
Oh, God, this whole story. Seriously. So I love the news reporting. Drudging up a past that Newt Gingrich had worked hard to bury. Like a dog digging up a bone.
Oh, yeah.
Newt Gingrich's bone. The GOP presidential candidate's ex-wife says Gingrich asked for an open marriage in which he could have both a wife and a mistress. Marianne Gingrich said she refused to go along with the idea that she share her husband with Callista. Yeah. There is
she's so moral, by the way.
They were already shacking up when he asked for an open marriage.
All things, ew. He said,
open
Marianne
me,
said
frankly.
Her husband conducted his affair with Callista in my bedroom in our apartment in Washington.
Oh, yeah.
He always called me at night and always ended with, I love you. Well, she was listening. Yeah. She's there right next to him.
That's sad because her morality is so high.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, this whole story is like, ew. So let's review.
Well,
for those of
Newt
you
Gingrich,
don't
too.
Remember. Yeah, exactly. Sleeping with Newt Gingrich in the first place. Yeah. Ew. Okay, let's go back. So,
he was
cheating with Marianne on the first wife who he left, who got cancer.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Cheating on Marianne who got MS and left him left her after she got MS. She was already cheating with Callista. So that's just.
And then he became Catholic.
Yes.
Because our religion needed more creeps in it.
Yeah. Sure.
So Callista better get daily doctor visits.
Yeah. So Gingrich's spokesman already was the one that played the liar card. He said it couldn't be more opposite of the truth. He told reporters, I love this. Gingrich wouldn't say anything earlier in the day against his ex-wife, but he hid behind his two daughters.
Yeah, right.
And then he lied about that, by the way. He said they had written a letter to ABC to complain that the interview was tawdry and inappropriate. First of all, not leaving two sick wives and cheating on both of them, that's not tawdry and inappropriate. It's ABC airing.
Talking about it.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, anyway, airing that interview with a woman my dad abandoned my mom for was tawdry and inappropriate.
Anyway, but the point is, they didn't write a letter to ABC saying that. They just wrote it. Yes, they just wrote a letter talking about, hang on, I have it here, hang on. In fact, the letter made no such accusation. The letter just said that it wrote to ABC that anyone who has endured a failed marriage, quote, understands it's a personal tragedy. Particularly if you're married to Newt Gingrich.
Yeah.
filled with regrets and sometimes regret that you married Newt Gingrich.
Especially major regrets.
Uh-huh. And sometimes differing memories of events.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's funny because my memory is that you're a giant hole.
Yeah.
That left me when I got MS. Is that wrong? And you were already someone else? No? That's my memory. Okay. So
the, yeah. Yeah. I heard Newt Gingrich is also cheating on his Sith apprentice by training another younger, hotter Sith apprentice.
Oh, come on now, John Louise.
You're part of a rebel alliance and a traitor, Frank.
Oh, this just gets worse and worse. She says that within days of asking for a divorce, her husband gave a speech in which he stressed the importance of ethics and family values.
While impeaching Clinton.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Beautiful.
And so the spokesman, he reinforced the lying bitch storyline yesterday. He said the candidate had never asked for an open marriage. He said divorces are tough and people have very different recollections of how things happen.
Well, I said I wanted a Pope and Farage.
She's not just a lying bitch. She's a lying, forgetful bitch.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. My God. And Newt wants to blame this on the liberal media. You guys are all liberals. Let me ask you. Do you want Newt Gingrich to be the nominee more than anybody?
Yes.
I mean, I don't know a single liberal who's not rooting for Newt Gingrich in South Carolina.
I have been. I've been chanting all week, haven't I, Chris?
Yeah.
Newt.
It is the Republican establishment that doesn't want him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't want any of those people.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah.
It's hysteric, and didn't it seem kind of empty with four people up on stage last night?
Yeah, that was a little sad.
So diminished.
Yeah.
Oh.
And Ron Paul's, like, not even, you know.
No.
Well, they were ignoring him.
He's not even there.
Yeah. You know what? I did feel a little bit bad for Ron Paul because John King was ignoring
completely.
Ron Paul.
Yeah. And the crowd was on Ron Paul's side. They were booing John King.
I'm right here. What
I know. But, you know, John, what do you think about the...
talk to me.
I mean, isn't Mitt Romney central casting, though, for top 1%? Does this get any better? We're in, like, a John Grisham film. Really? You have money in the Cayman Islands.
I never knew how inadequate.
But they're not tax havens, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we never knew how bad Occupy Wall Street was with messaging about the 1% until we saw Mitt Romney, because this guy is going to convince more people of Occupy Wall Street's points. First off, the healthcare mandate, which is his pre-existing condition.
Yes.
You know, there's the abortion question last night. I mean, I posted a link on my Twitter last night of a video that shows all of Mitt Romney saying directly to camera how he supports a woman's right to choose. And they just don't care.
Wow.
I mean, they just don't care. These liberals never win elections because we're so hung up on consistent morality.
Yeah.
Mitt Romney.
And by the way, I remember, you know, back then, that was such a solid core belief of his because someone in his family had died from an illegal abortion, and that was a core belief that would never change a woman's rights. Like, oh, please, this guy has no core.
And I was impressed at the time because I thought, this guy's a Mormon. He clearly doesn't agree with it, but he says it's the law of Massachusetts, and I respect it. And so, you know, in a way, he was having it both ways, but I respected it at least. Now he's just saying he never, ever did it. Like, these tapes don't exist.
And when you think he can't make it worse the whole time, did you see how smug that was? Were you really sure that, maybe.
Yeah.
It's like, you smug bastard. Like, you know, maybe in April, maybe after you give me the nomination already. I mean, it's just...
Well, and that's the thing, because if he's really paying a 15% rate... You know, when the average working class person and middle class person is paying, what, 24%? And he's paying 15%?
But I think
it's inherited wealth.
I think it's worse than that, John. I think there is a lot of millions in the Cayman Islands that he's avoiding paying American taxes at all. What, you know, I mean, it doesn't take a genius to go, gee, if you're not releasing it, there must be something in there.
Can I tell you why I love Mitt Romney, though? Because, you know, we're news nerds, and we talk about Citizens United, and we talk about the death tax all the time. And the average person with a life doesn't really care about this stuff. Mitt Romney is going to teach so many Americans about why Citizens United is evil, and he's going to teach what's wrong with the estate tax, because essentially his whole argument is people who work for a living should have that income taxed, people who inherit it shouldn't. And last night he told a lie when he said he didn't inherit any money from his parents.
Yeah, what was that about?
Yeah, he just came up by the bootstraps.
His parents left him millions, and he gave it to his kids. That was the lie. But he said on the debate, my parents left me nothing.
I don't have it. I give it to my kids. What?
Yeah, he made it sound like he had a hard scrabble background.
Sure, yeah, he did.
His father left him a career and a network of rich friends to set him up for life.
Yeah, whatever. All right,
I only made $30 million on speaking fees last year.
I mean, nothing.
Live on that.
All right. 19 minutes after the hour, back with more with Fridays with Sexy Liberal John Fugelsang in the I'm Stephanie Miller Show.
A whole new level of disturbing.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
To the left. Not to the right. No, to the left. Yep. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour. Sexy Liberal John Fugelsang in the New York Bureau all 3 hours for Fridays with Fugelsang. John Fugelsang, we announced Aisha Tyler for the Minneapolis show on Monday, and the box office exploded, and we got hollered at. They were like, why didn't you tell us there was? Can we only have one person working today? Anyway, because I would hurry and get your tickets for that if you'd like. I don't know why, John. Magically, that picture of Aisha in a see-through dress keeps appearing on the Sexy Liberal Facebook page every time she joins the tour. And then it
seems to be popular for some reason.
Tickets just seem to go crazy. I don't know why, but I would hurry for the... what is it? May 12th, right? Mm-hmm. May 12th, Minneapolis. Hurry, sexyliberal.com, sexyliberal on Facebook. Also, Philly is up next, February 4th.
Very exciting.
By the way, I just heard today, it's only like an hour and a half from New York City, for God's sakes, John Fugelsang.
Yeah.
Bring a boatload of friends from New York,
that's why
don't
I'm going.
You?
Yes.
All right. Okay.
I will.
It's also
going to be so much fun.
It's also that far away from D.C., so it's not far from either city.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Get it.
Tri-state area. Come to Philly. It's going to be a party. Take a whole weekend.
Yeah.
Work on your Rocky impression. We'll have some laughs.
Yeah. Yo. Okay.
I don't know why, but got some right. disease.
Also, oh, Albuquerque also going fast in March. You know what? I would just hurry on all of them because there's buy the tickets.
How fun to have Aisha with us again, too.
I know.
My drool shorted out my MacBook after that picture went up.
I know.
Oh, dear.
I know. Control yourself. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Buddy in Columbus. Hi, buddy.
Guten Freitag.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Steph, have you ever thought of firing one of the MOOCs and replacing them with 32 kids?
little janitors or what kind of...
Well, just, you know, go to the Husky Boys section of Target and pick up, you know, a bunch of young kids.
How very sweet of you.
Hey, Mama, Newt Gingrich is a piece of dung. He knew John King could not answer back to those things. And so he made this red herring of an argument that the only reason John King is asking that question is to provide Barack Obama cover.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, what a piece of crap.
Exactly. How can you, a major news story, how can you not ask about it? And you knew Newt was going to do that. He does the same thing every time. He attacks the media.
Yeah.
So it's not that he's a dirtbag. It's the media's reporting on the fact that he's a dirtbag of epic proportions.
How dare you,
no matter what his sin, he always plays the victim, which is why he makes a great Catholic.
Yeah. And that answer of his was rehearsed and focus grouped to get the best applause possible.
Yeah.
And he won the debate for it.
Yep.
Because I think the destructive, vicious, negative nature of much of the news media,
the media
makes it harder to govern this country, harder to attract decent people to run for public office. And I am appalled that you would begin a presidential debate on a topic like that.
Like I did with Bill Clinton. What?
I'm appalled.
Where was all of this righteous anger back in the 90s?
Yeah.
During the Clinton administration?
Yeah. You know what I'm appalled at? I'm thinking back is that you would cheat on one wife and then leave her when she gets cancer and then start cheating with another wife that has MS and then leave her.
Yeah.
And then, at the same time, criticize Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
See if we're having a...
He fed stories to the media about Bill Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He called Bill and Hillary the enemies of normal Americans.
Exactly.
Sure.
And now it's the media's fault.
How dare you, frankly?
What an ass.
Mary in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mayor.
Hi. I just wanted to relate that I believe everything that Newt Gingrich's second wife said because very similar things happened to me in my life. My first husband and I were going through marriage counseling, he asked me and begged me if he could date people. And I said, are you there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You said, that's probably not really marriage counseling.
And I said, no, you can't date people. Well, eventually I found out that he was dating somebody. He was having an affair. And I asked him, I said, would you give her up? And he said, no. And I said, well, then we'll have to get a divorce. And he said, no. And I said, well, you have to answer yes to one of those questions because you don't. And I said the same exact thing. It's not a marriage. I said, if you're dating people, I'm kind of funny that way. I just don't like my husband dating people.
Yeah, kind of funny. So, the vows, you know, it doesn't mention that part. Yeah.
Yeah, and so eventually we did get divorced, and a year later I unfortunately was in the hospital with a major surgery, and who does he bring with our 4-year-old daughter?
No, no.
To come visit me is his girlfriend. He brings her with my daughters
to come visit my daughter.
You dodged a bullet.
Mary, I'm sorry. Oh, dear God. All right. 29 minutes after the hour. John Fugelsang has to go to an audition, then he'll be back. Right, John Fugelsang?
I'll be right back.
All right. We'll be right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
When you thought the world couldn't be any more dangerous, Channel 5 News has discovered
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Boy, did we have us a debate in South Carolina last night. Why?
Welcome, one and all, to the South Carolina GOP debates. We've combined this event with our annual calf toss, cross burning, and youth awareness program. Don't worry, children, we'll tell you who the bad ones are, and we'll also give you a free mug and hat for participating. The GOP debates. It's different, all right.
Oh, boy.
Thank you, Mike and Raleigh.
Wow.
I'm appalled, frankly. My friend that I'm frankly appalling.
Where's my butter commercial music? John Fugel saying I had to go out to an audition. He will be back in hour number three, stepping into the fray. It's campaign consultant superhero David Benda. Hello, David Benda.
I have my cape on. Does it get any better?
It can't. It just can't. What's your? I mean, because you literally you watch that Newt Gingrich, you're like, oh no, he didn't. Oh God, oh no, he's not. And then you're going, I guess that was smart, right?
Well, when you get two standing ovations, I don't know. You do things in front of people.
Yes.
When they are standing and applauding, do you take that as a good sign?
Normally I'm doing something disgusting right in front of them, not in my past. But
exactly.
Yeah.
And we can expect that from Newt because he's shown that he has done lots of disgusting things, and next time maybe he'll do them on stage.
David, is this an atypical year, or is it me? Is Newt Gingrich possibly going to win the evangelical Christians in South Carolina as the family values candidate?
Is it atypical or is it you? But let's just go with, is it atypical? Here's what's going on right now. Remember, people have looked the other way on all of these things if they are being given the red meat that they want. So if we are talking about who behaves conservatively in their life, not Rick Santorum, who actually does walk the talk.
Right.
We know this about his seven children and his commitment to pro-life and the eighth unborn, or named child. I mean, we know all about Rick Santorum's life, but he doesn't inspire that. He doesn't make you think he's going to be a crusader, a warrior who can actually take the fight to Barack Obama. And that's what you get.
Yeah.
In his English.
Well, so it's hard to tell. That's the thing. It's hard to tell what issues are resonating, right? You'd think, like, any of these revelations could be damning. The Bain stuff, the tax stuff, the Cayman Islands, you know, then you have the Marianne Gingrich thing. And yet it seems like when he was race baiting is when his numbers started going up, right, Newt Gingrich?
It's when he, you know, when he called him the food stamp president, when he started using, and remember, this had happened before, Seth. This had happened in Iowa when he was starting to rise, and then all of the independent expenditures and the super PACs that went against Gingrich in Iowa pummeled him, knocked him down, which in Iowa you can do. They were able
right.
to depress his numbers and get him off his stride and get him off his game. They're trying to do that in South Carolina, but it's not enough. And frankly, he said it. Gingrich said it this way: Romney and the others can outspend me 2 or 3 to 1, and we'll win.
Well,
it's going to take 6, 7, 8 to 1.
What is your sense on tomorrow? And what is the latest polling? The last I heard yesterday, the aggregate was very, very close.
Not only is the aggregate very close, you've got to look at the trend lines. And the way this is working is that Romney is imploding and Gingrich is going up, up, and up. Now, there were still some Perry numbers. I think it was down to 3% in the last poll. All of that, now that it's factored in, today's tracking poll is going to be very interesting. And this thing is incredibly volatile. Remember, tomorrow. So is it too little too late? I don't think so.
I
texted you on Wednesday saying I something in my gut tells me that I think Newt's going to pull this off.
Well, was that your gut from last night that he won the debate? I mean, again, I was saying it's interesting. You know, what gets applause at these Republican debates? And as I say, even Romney is the one that fell flat, right, trying to be snarky like Gingrich about his tax returns, right?
When you say that the person who you admire the most in your life is your father, George Romney, and then they lay out for you
right.
what your father did.
Who set the precedent of releasing tax, right? Yeah.
And then you go, like it's a joke, oh, maybe. That doesn't fly.
Yeah.
That shows you the character of the man. And this is what...
Yeah, normally to get booed at a Republican debate, you have to be talking about somebody dying, you know, or killing somebody.
Or ignoring Ron Paul, or be John King, or Juan Williams.
Yeah.
But what we saw Romney try and do, Stephanie, was to sort of deflect this And then to say, remember the righteous indignation moment? Here's the two moments to measure. Newt opened with righteous indignation. How dare you do this? This is, you know, this is a presidential debate, and this is the elite media, and the wrath and the righteousness came through. It may well have been rehearsed, but it was effective and delivered brilliantly. The righteous indignation of Mitt Romney was, I can't believe people are talking about my character. I'm not sure about standing here for that.
Well, and plus he's like, it's again this line about, oh, I'm not going to apologize for being successful. It's like nobody's, you know, nobody's saying there's anything wrong with being successful. It's all about the fair share. And clearly it seems to me that could be the bigger story, that he has a lot of money offshore to avoid paying any American taxes at all, in addition to only paying 15% on the rest of it, right?
What I'm driving at, you're right, as an issue, and an issue in the fall, the Obama campaign will use that. There'll be lots of things. And Romney, for example, defended himself on his health care plan by using the word Romney care. It came out of his mouth.
Yeah.
You will never hear Barack Obama defending Obamacare, a pejorative term.
Right.
So,
yeah.
So what would be rational in a rational world that you and I sometimes inhabit is that if this were based on actual positions on issues or contradictions, it's not about that at all. So maybe it is an atypical year where stories like I asked for an open marriage or I have my money in the Caymans should resonate. This is about visceral.
That's why I was saying it seems like blatantly playing the race card this year is what's working in South. And so I'm not a brilliant campaign consultant like you are that's been, that's worked with Howard Dean. But I had every once in a while you have a light bulb moment. And I said, it's not the doctor, or what do you call it, Sarah Palin endorsement. He needs to have Dr. Laura come and just scream the N-word multiple times. And that puts him right over the top, doesn't it?
And we know
Carolina?
She's good at that.
She is.
Yeah, but since Sarah Palin and Dr. Laura are inseparable, the part of Dr. Laura will be played by Sarah Palin and was. And do not underestimate the effectiveness of Sarah Palin saying that when she did.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It did play a part.
So what happens now, David? Is it still Mitt, even if Newt wins South Carolina tomorrow?
Well. We'll talk about this on Monday because some of this is going to depend on the margin. If it's a squeaker, then it's either way, frankly, even if Newt runs second but close. Newt already is spinning it, but he and Santorum together, their vote is going to beat Newt. That admit that is a no-brainer. That is a true statement.
Mm-hmm.
So his pre-buttle to finishing second is that Romney still couldn't eclipse the real conservative vote. Then that leads to Santorum, will you get out? You saw how huffy Santorum was about that last
yes.
night. You know, he was
in a frothy mix of indignation.
He was a frothy, you know, man on dog on car. So
that's who's left in the race, Senator Man on Dog, Governor Dog on Car, and Congressman Man on Woman on Woman on Woman on Woman. Yay, ladies and gentlemen, Clavin.
We have a race.
Exactly. All right, David Bender, we will go ahead.
We will do this on Monday, but the only thing I can tell you is watch for what Rick Santorum does on Sunday. Pay attention to that.
Something disgusting, I'm sure.
A very key point as to whether or not that Florida will still be in play.
Yeah, all right. All right, David Bender, check in with
you
on Monday.
Love you guys.
Love you, Bendy.
Love you, Ben.
Bye-bye. Bye, Artie. You're not supposed to call him that. I can call whenever I want. He's my Bendy. Okay, let's go to Mike.
Really?
He's my
really?
Bendy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I stole that man right away from Rachel Maddow. I can do what I want with him. Mike in Chicago. Hello, Mike.
Hey, everyone. Steph, here's something no one's brought up yet. That interview with Marianne yesterday, do you remember they said, was Newt aware of when you were in the hospital what was going on? And she said, yeah, he was aware of it. The doctor told him, don't give her any more stress than absolutely necessary.
Wow.
Yes.
And
right.
Went in there and told her anyway.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, she must not be under any stress. What would, frankly, be considered stress? Oh, you mean like me, somebody else for years and wanting to have an open marriage? Would that count?
And then the liberal media, it's like ABC's flagship, as you guys know, is here in Chicago. It's WLS,
yep.
And it's got Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, right. And Mark Levin. So what liberal media are they talking about?
Yeah,
actually, of all the three major network newscasts, I think ABC's leans the most right.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what Gingrich is talking about.
Yeah. Well, it's the same play he runs every time. He attacked Fox when he was Fox,
mm-hmm.
for asking. I mean, apparently there are no good questions for Newt Gingrich. Yeah. Just any sort of questions or gotcha questions when you're Newt Gingrich.
Yeah.
All right. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Coming up after this commercial, I will be talking even louder.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Go on, take money and run. Go on, take money and run. Go on, take money and run.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. These exact Newt Gingrich quotes just makes you go. He said, every person here knows personal pain. Well, particularly if there's someone that knows you.
Yeah. Right.
Every person in here has had someone close to them go through painful things.
Caused by me, frankly.
Mm-hmm. To take an ex-wife and make it 2 days before a primary significant question in a presidential campaign is close to despicable as anything I can imagine.
Except anything you've
done. Well, here's something I think might be more despicable, and I might be leaving two sick wives after having cheated on them.
And then calling her a liar.
Right.
On national television. Yeah. That might be more despicable.
Wait to hear what Rush Limbaugh has to say about this whole thing in right-wing world.
Newt's a victim. Yeah. Is that the thing? Yeah, I heard about that. The Newt's a victim, really. He's the victim in all this.
Sure.
Oh,
he goes
boy.
On, though.
Yes,
we'll hear it in right-wing world.
I heard about it. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Stephanie in Illinois. Hi, Steph.
Hi. I just had an OMG moment. I was watching Betty Ron, and Representative Tim Scott from South Carolina made this statement that the economy is getting much better, so we as Republicans are going to have to work much harder to get the president out.
Yeah, we're going to have to make up some more stuff.
Brilliant.
Yeah, exactly.
Damn it, the economy is doing really well.
Yes, in fact, yesterday, more good news for America, bad news for Republicans. Jobs report best since April 2008.
Yep. Damn it!
Number of people seeking unemployment plummeted last week to
352,000.
The fewest since April 2008. Decline added to evidence the job market is strengthening.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Keith in Milwaukee, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, guys. I got a feeling that for Ron Paul to get attention, more attention to the next debate, he'll probably show up in a much bigger suit. two things about Newt Gingrich, and I really hate to bring this stuff up, but, you know, the Republicans take great stock in this. But, you know, the news media that Newt ripped into last night seems to, you know, Newt's talked about his two daughters standing up to defend him. Well, it turns out those two daughters not only were from the first wife, you know, and of course he has an affair with Marianne, but
right.
also the two daughters are working with him. And so, I mean, I don't know why they don't talk about that. And the second thing, this was from the interview last night from ABC, his wife Marianne said that if he's really changed, why didn't he apologize to her last night?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly, rather than calling her a lying bitch.
Right.
He is, I mean, seriously, he is. Despicable is a good word.
I hadn't thought of that, but his daughters were angry at Marianne for cheating on.
Oh, yeah. That's right. It's hard to keep track.
Their mother. So that they have motivation to go after her.
Yes. John King and Newt Gingrich last night.
As you noted, Mr. Speaker, this story did not come from our network. As you also know, it is the subject of conversation on the campaign. I get your point. I take your point.
John, it was repeated by your network. You chose to start the debate with it. Don't try to blame somebody
else. Try to blame
you and your staff chose to start this debate with it.
What an a-hole.
Don't try to blame someone else
God.
For my despicable personal life.
Yeah. It sounds like
I blame Bill Clinton, frankly.
Sounds like Newt's not used to not getting his way.
Wow. Okay. And then he went on. Here's the lying whore part.
The story is false. Every personal friend I have who knew us in that period says the story was false.
Really?
We offered several of them to ABC to prove it was false. They weren't interested
and how much
because they would
him?
Like to attack any Republican.
How would you pay these friends?
I was going to say, how would friends know? This is a private conversation between him and Marianne.
And they weren't friends of Marianne, clearly.
Yeah.
If these so-called friends actually exist.
I mean, obviously, you're not going to have friends present at a conversation like that. Like, oh, yeah, there's...
Oh, I invite them all over.
You know, I have some friends that'll call her a lying bitch, too. Here, talk to them.
These are lying allegations, which are probably not true.
Untrue. They're untrue, unproven, untrue allegations. Carrie in Houston. Hello, Carrie.
Hey, Steph.
Hi.
I wanted to say I know that Newt is a slime ball, and I don't like him, but I don't feel particularly sorry for Marianne.
Well,
because she knew who she was marrying.
Yeah.
Well, I know. That's what I mean. This whole story, Carrie, she was cheating with him on the first wife.
Yeah. She knew she was marrying a dog. She was the mistress to start with, and if he'll fool around with you, he'll fool around on you.
Yep.
So it's a little disingenuous for her to go on and say, you know, to be all horrified at the way he acted when she knew the man that she was marrying.
Well, Carrie, I don't know if there's a lot of moral relativity here, but the one thing I did hear is that, you know, the divorce was already in process when she began her affair with Newt Gingrich, so he was still technically married. Who knows, right? Like, exactly what happened when.
Yeah,
it still doesn't give you a right to act like a douche. Seriously.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm not saying, I'm just saying that I don't think either party has a whole lot of room to be on high moral ground here.
So then it sounds like they were made for each other.
Yeah, well, but the thing is that's the reason why in the South, I mean, because I'm in Houston, in the South, that's how they're going to look at it. That she knew who she was marrying, and they're not going to feel particularly sorry for her.
Well, that's what I wonder, Carrie. If you know, this didn't, like they always say, this didn't hurt Bill Clinton, you know, and he didn't, and his behavior, although wasn't anywhere close to what this is.
If his first wife had gone on, that would have been one thing, because she had a right to expect fidelity. She didn't, you know, she didn't go into it knowing she was marrying a dog.
Yeah.
Well, but the second wife,
Yeah. Darla, on thoughts on the current Mrs. Gingrich. Hello, Darla.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey, I can't wait till you get to Chicago.
Oh, March 3rd. We can't wait. Hurry, get those tickets. They're going fast.
Oh, yeah. You know, they built a new two-story Walgreens, like, right down the street, and they have wine, so, you know.
Oh, awesome. Box wine near the Chicago Theater.
But I was thinking, you know, Calista should be afraid every time she catches a cold or something. Cause,
I think that's why she actively, Darla, always looks like she's trying to look really peppy and healthy and awake. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's either fear or she's just, oh, look at me. I could not be healthy.
I'm so healthy. Maybe every day she's just surprised that he hasn't cheated on her yet.
Exactly. She's just startled to see him every time he comes back in.
I'm fine. There's nothing wrong with me at all.
Okay.
Want to take my blood pressure?
He may stick with her because, as you know, she can totally unhinge her jaw. You know what I'm saying?
I believe she ate a small child last night.
Yeah, she did. All right, this is the last Mrs. Gingrich on Marianne last night.
I said to him, we've been married a long time.
Yeah, too long. Right?
And
he said,
yes, but you want me all to yourself. Calista doesn't care what I do.
What was he saying to you, you think?
He was asking to have an open marriage, and I refused.
How dare you? How dare you refuse me? It's what I want, and it's
clingy,
what I'll get.
Clingy bitch. All you that about. Okay, Marianne.
It was occurring in my bedroom in our apartment in Washington.
Oh.
And he always called me at night. He always ended with, I love you.
Frankly.
Well, she was there listening.
Oh, ick.
Right next to him.
In my home.
Oh, yeah.
That's skeevy.
It's really skeevy. Barbara in Buffalo, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Barbara.
Hi.
Hi.
My question is about Newt Gingrich. I'm a practicing Catholic, and he professes to be such a good Catholic.
For now.
And
he doesn't have to practice anymore. He's gone. He's gone professional. He's so good at it. He has so much of God's forgiveness.
But what I want to know is, I know to practice in the Catholic religion and to get a divorce, you have to get an annulment in the church.
He converted to Catholicism after he married Calista, his last wife. So,
but he still was divorced, so he needs to have an annulment.
Yeah, well, I don't know if you're paying attention, not really following the Catholic rules quite really that closely.
No.
Okay, 58 minutes.
I think you only joined it for the forgiveness part. They're more suggestions, really. Yeah. Not really commandments.
58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
The Stephanie Miller Show, 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, stephaniemiller.com, the website. I think we have new pictures of Max, my handsome romantic man up there.
Yeah, posted it up there yesterday.
Does he have human body parts in his mouth?
No. Okay. Oh, God. Okay, so you know the severed head they found near my house in Hollywood Hills where I hike?
Mm-hmm.
By the way, okay, my friends, you can all stop texting me the texts about my crazy ex. Okay, I get it. That's funny.
Hey.
But, okay. Okay, anyway.
Yeah, well, there is that.
My point is, people that have known me too long and I really ought to get around to firing. No, did you hear? Oh, my God. Seriously? Did you hear that, like, there's more and more details coming out?
Yes.
So they found the head and the hands and the feet and whatever.
And it was Armenian.
An Armenian man. It was an Armenian dude.
It looked like my high school picture. That's how they knew.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's getting too close to home.
Yeah. I know you're relieved to find out it wasn't me. no, but anyway, so the two girls that were dog walkers, so the dog found the head,
mm-hmm.
and originally it was reported that it was in a bag, and he shook the bag. No, it's apparently she said that he had the head in his mouth. Max, what do you got? What do you?
Armenian man's head. Oh. Good boy.
And there's rumors that they're trying to sell the pictures.
Yeah.
They took pictures. It's like, hey, look, take a picture of me with the head.
Did you hear who they questioned in conjunction with this investigation?
Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie's bodyguard.
Wow.
What's that all about?
Well, I guess they live near
there. Jennifer Aniston involved?
Their Los Angeles house is near there, so he may have seen something.
I thought you were going to say Andy Dick.
It's usually him.
Yeah.
I would go right to him. The most aptly named man in Hollywood.
That's only if they found a severed head near the Laugh Factory.
Well, who hasn't?
Or the Improv.
Yeah.
I used to work at the Laugh Factory in the attic answering the phone, you know.
I know.
I used to trip over heads on my way in. Sexy Liberal Philly up next February 4th. Go get it. New York people, D.C. people, go get it. We aren't going to be able to get to New York or D.C. anytime soon. Phoenix already sold out, sorry. Chicago, very close to sell out much. Albuquerque, also very close to sell out. Go get it. Madison already sold out in April. But coming up next, ha-hoo!
The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour made Minneapolis one of their first stops on their wildly popular world tour.
Minnesota.
Stephanie and her sexy liberal players are coming back to the Twin Cities since the first time was so Minnesota nice.
They call me Minnesota Nice.
On May 12th, the State Theater will host the triumphant return of the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, featuring movie, television, and radio personality John Fugelsang, actress, comedian, and co-host of The Talk, Aisha Tyler,
woo-hoo!
And Mama herself, Stephanie Miller.
You're darn tootin'.
Come on and thrill me, Mama.
Get your tickets online at Ticketmaster.com or by calling Ticketmaster at 1-800-745-3000. Minneapolis, Minnesota, join the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour at the State Theater on May 12th and go for another brilliant helping of sexy liberal sassiness.
Because Stephanie Miller.
There's a lot of chutzpah.
Yay! All right. Yeah, I don't know why. Aisha Tyler in One Night Only, Hal is a Disney show commitment, and I don't know why, Chris, that weird picture of her half naked keeps showing up on Stephanie Miller and Sexy Liberal Facebook. And
I'm sure she appreciates you putting that
up
there.
I don't know. A lot of likes, Jim. A lot of likes. A lot of likes on that. A lot of tickets sold. And then back to the schedule, Hal and John and I will be in Boston in June, Los Angeles in July, and Seattle in September. Get it.
Anywhere else this coming year? Do we know?
That I know of, but I'm always the last to know.
No, that is true.
Mm-hmm. All right. Chris in Yankton writes, Jim, you missed the story yesterday. Who is it? Oh, Chuck Grassley.
Yeah.
Yeah. Child labor laws are they would like more kids to work on farms because hard labor
builds
character.
Sure. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
Sure. Keeping dumb so they'll vote Republican.
Yeah. Steph, your riff on Republican child labor ideas are awesome. Mattel needs to start making some suitable toys, too. Baby's first thresher, baby's first combine.
Yeah.
They could even have little doctor sets to let you practice putting a tourniquet on a limb that got caught in an auger.
Mm-hmm.
Surely you're missing some great opportunities for today's toddler slackers to get into the workforce. There have to be some other great character-building jobs for tots. Barnacle scraper. These are what? Stupid ideas.
Really?
Barnacle scraper.
Landmine tester.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Foundry worker, meat packing, especially the kill floor, munitions plants, lumber mills, and sewage treatment plants. Yeah, that actually was one. That's the big government bill they were protesting.
Yeah.
Not letting, babies go logging. They think that's too much.
That's
nanny state.
That's too far.
Oh, I'm a lumberjack and I'm okay. Sleep on an owl.
Lost yet another limb. Down in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hey, good morning, Steph. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm excellent. I was just wanting to comment on Newt being appalled. You know, because first time we heard of Newt being appalled was when he was appalled at the ethics violations of Jim Wright, the Democratic Speaker of the House.
And then he's easily appalled.
Yeah, and then you know what? Next thing you know, Newt's doing the exact same things that he was appalled at.
He was
appalled at Clinton's behavior while he was doing the exact same thing. I wonder, I got the feeling that he would be appalled if he heard that Michelle Obama had an affair with a married man. But him and all the right-wingers are not going to be appalled if Clarissa becomes the first lady after having an affair with a married man.
Yeah, well, I think he's not appalled at his own behavior because he expects himself to be a dirtbag.
Right.
He knows he's a dirtbag. So that's not appalling at all. That's just sort of par for the course, frankly. Okay, yes. Nudie last night on his ex-wife, Marianne. Newt Gingrich.
Look, I'm not going to say anything about Marianne. My two daughters have already written to ABC complaining about this as tawdry and inappropriate.
Like my ex-wife. She's tawdry and inappropriate and a lying whore, frankly.
First of all, that was a lie. They didn't write to ABC saying it was tawdry and inappropriate at all.
Wow, even that was a lie.
Yeah.
Hello, he lied.
Yes, here he is hiding behind his daughter's skirts.
Both of my daughters are prepared to speak on the record with any of you who'd like to talk to them. Several other people who knew the situation are prepared to speak on the record. Mm. I'm not getting involved.
Mm. Oh.
And just in case they say something that I don't want them to, they're lying whores. In advance, just let me.
I have some other hatchet men taking care of the lying whore. Okay, here he is.
Look, I think this is a decision you have to make. I've been very open about my life.
Yeah.
I've been very open about mistakes I have made.
Mistakes
I've been very
remain.
Open about needing to go to God for forgiveness and to seek reconciliation.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, God, then. Trump's everything.
Mm-hmm.
Everything I've done is fine, frankly, because I talked to God, and he said, keep doing it.
God gave me, he actually gave me the thumbs up.
Because I wanted to be president, frankly.
Wow. What a day yesterday. Yeah. The headline, GOP campaign turns bizarre in South Carolina. It's bizarre. How bizarre?
How bizarre?
How bizarre?
How bizarre?
How bizarre?
It's veering towards South Carolina surreal. Or is this just par for the course for South Carolina? I don't know. Mitt Romney, stripped of his Iowa caucus victory yesterday, then stung by Rick Perry's withdrawal and endorsement of Newt Gingrich, and then the former House Speaker stunningly accused in turn by an ex-wife of seeking an open marriage. It was a day yesterday.
It was.
And Rick Perry, did you see what he said? Newt's not perfect, but who among us is? Well, most of us are a little more perfect than Newt Gingrich. Despite how flawed we might be.
I think the other three up on stage last night were a little more perfect in that respect than Newt Gingrich.
Yeah.
I think Santorum's probably more honest than Newt, which isn't saying much.
Oh, boy. Recent polls, coupled with Perry's endorsement, suggest Gingrich was the candidate with the momentum and Romney the one struggling to validate his standing as front runner. The governor, of course, had other challenges in the state where unemployment approaches 10%. He adamantly refused to explain why some of his millions were invested in the Cayman Islands. It's okay. We know.
Actually, it's you got it backwards.
How much was there or whether any other funds were held offshore?
I have Caymans invested in the Money Islands. I'm a herpetologist.
Under pressure from his rivals to release them,
he
told reporters it wouldn't happen. You'll hear more about that. April. Wow. What a smug bastage. And then last night, they asked, will you, father, follow the example set by your father?
Okay. When you release yours, will you follow your father's example?
Maybe.
I don't know how many years I'll release. I'll take a look at what our documents are.
They say it looks good.
And I'll release multiple years. I don't know how many years, but I'll be happy to do that.
Selectively.
Mitt was on Fox and Friends this morning, and you know what he said? He said he won't release his tax returns right away because, quote, I don't want to give the Democrats a nice little present.
Well,
that's
kind
of
weird.
Signifies that there's something
that
in there.
Oops.
There's something we're going to like, right?
Yeah.
Because there's something you really like in there, and I just don't want to...
I think people,
like my girlfriend Lisa doesn't get the idea of the surprise. I'm always like, I got you a surprise. She's like, what is it? I'm like, okay, what do you not understand about it? I can't tell you yet.
I think Republicans forget
I want to know what it is, Mitt. What is it?
I think Republicans, when they go on Fox News, forget that there might be some Democrats listening. I think they think they're just going into the clubhouse and they can talk about anything.
Really? That tends to pique the interest.
In Lisa's defense, she is 11, so, you know.
Stop it, Jim Louise!
Yeah. Little girls tend to be a little more impatient.
It's a little joke about how young my girlfriend is and how old I am. Screw you. Okay. Oh, Tom helpfully sent this headline. Why Steph and Lisa might not want to have kids. A woman left child in shopping cart outside Lexington liquor store. That'd be me. Woman left a 7-month-old daughter in a shopping cart. See, to me, that's...
I'm forgetting something. What was
is it?
You stay here. Mama's got to buy her medicine. Just sit here. Hush.
Pretty soon she'll be old enough to get it for you.
Yes.
Get your medicine
I
for
believe
you.
In that kind of child labor.
That's the only reason you're having kids.
Drive Mama's industrial truck to liquor depot.
Yeah. And pick... Drive the
Use
forklift.
Use the forklift. Go to Costco. Get... Here's my Costco card. I need a what's a bale or something. I don't know what
Mama
the pallet. A pallet.
Yeah.
I need a pallet of wine. All right. 17 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
All right. This is my show, and it's a serious intellectual hour of discussion, and I want to keep it that way.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
How bizarre. How bizarre. How bizarre.
Bizarre.
How bizarre. That was a hit. How bizarre.
22 minutes after
catchy.
The hour.
Come on.
In honor of the bizarre South Carolina primary tomorrow, 1-800-STEP-12. Three new South Carolina polls. Former House Speaker Newt Gingrich is besting Mitt Romney.
Yeah.
And that is just hilarious. Really exciting, the family values crowd there in South Carolina.
Well, wow.
Uh-huh.
You know what?
Polls showed him pulling ahead of Romney. Surprisingly, Ron Paul is ahead of Frothy.
Yeah.
By a little bit.
Yeah.
And
I didn't even get to talk.
I know.
I think the Republicans in South Carolina ate up the fact that John King asked that question and Newt Gingrich stuck it to John King.
Yes, mm-hmm. Sure.
I think that was just...
John King is the one that really lacks values.
Well, I know, but they don't like the liberal media elite. They've been fed that line and they've accepted that line. And so when one candidate gets a chance to stick it to the liberal media elite, they love it.
Yeah,
and
if it was on Fox, it would have been asked a different way, right? Do you have any comment on that lying whore of an ex-wife of yours? Something like that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, by the way, this is a reversal. Of course, in Romney's mittens must be just going berserk.
Yeah.
This coronation is just getting all screwed up. Targeted viewers in most regions of the state are watching an average of about 6 commercials a day paid for by Romney's campaign or his super PAC.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably irritating the bejesus out of them further, I'm guessing. Santorum said yesterday, there have been two contests. We won one. How can you differentiate yourselves on major issues of the day if we nominate Tweedledum and Tweedledee? Oh, snap, Frothy. Instead of someone who stood up and said no, he was talking about the mandate. Frothy last night at the
grandiosity has never been a problem with Newt Gingrich. He handles it very, very well. And that's really one of the issues here, folks. I mean, a month ago he was saying that, it's inevitable that I'm going to win the election, and I'm destined to do it. I don't want a nominee that I have to worry about going out and looking at the paper the next day and figuring out worrying about what he's going to say next. And that's what I think we're seeing here.
Wow.
The person with the best lines last night, and in my view, the winner of the debate last night was Rick Santorum.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
I love, this is so high school. Somebody sent me this, Dueling Douches. He said, Santorum and Romney can't trade barbs over Iowa, quote-unquote, concession call.
Uh-huh.
So did Mitt Romney concede the Iowa caucus to the actual winner, Rick Santorum? Or why does all this seem like it's turned into a bad case of hurt high school feelings? The Santorum campaign told the New York Times Romney had called to concede. The Romney campaign then said there was no concession. Romney was simply calling to congratulate Santorum like a good sport on what they say was a tie. You see how that is. When he's ahead by 34, that's a tie.
I'm congratulating on losing to me.
Mitt apparently had previously won by a landslide of 8 votes.
I guess technically is a tie because they both get 6 delegates out of it. But
Santorum still believes the call should probably be considered a concession. He said, well, then why was he calling to congratulate me for? Huh? Right? Stupid. It's going to be awkward at the big dance. We're going to have a dance-off.
Oh, God.
I think, getting back to the John King thing, I think he did make a mistake by opening with that.
He
probably should have buttered him up a bit and then sock him with the lady. And he should have followed up with, oh, so your wife is a lying whore. You're saying your wife
maybe
is a
liar. Maybe not in so many words.
He's paraphrasing.
Okay. You're accusing your ex-wife of being a liar. Shut up, Franklin.
Mitten got in one good line.
How dare you ask me a question?
Because, you know, Newt Gingrich just mentions Reagan almost every other sentence about how he's a Reagan, blah, blah, blah,
Franklin,
and he helped Reagan do blah. And he said, Mitt said, I looked at the Reagan diary. You mentioned once in Reagan's, Ronald Reagan's diary, and he said you had an idea in a meeting of young congressmen. It wasn't a very good idea, and he dismissed it. That was the entire mention.
Mitt pointed out that Newt is mentioned in Reagan's diaries as much as Mitt's dad is.
What kind of a name is Newt? Anyway?
Yeah. Reagan was probably like,
who
is that doughy little pantload? Tell him to wait.
Angry little muffin.
Tell him to shut up, that angry little attack muffin.
You're not helping.
Scram.
I think he said, tell the doughy pantload to shut up. That's what I think.
Yeah. Reagan was good with words like that.
Will someone escort the doughy pantload out of the room? Well, there you go again.
There you go again, stupid. All right. Hi, Brian.
Hey, good morning. Hey, I got to wonder if Obama is waking up every morning saying to himself, where do I start with these idiots? Seriously, Santorum was perceived, like Chris said, my girlfriend thought that Santorum actually won that debate last night. But he had the most idiotic response to a question last night. When John King asked him, would you lower the corporate tax rate or whatever, he said he would lower it down to zero while simultaneously charging local businesses more taxes. And these Tea Party idiots ate that up and not realizing that the original Boston Tea Party probably would have paid taxes on the tea, except that the king was charging them more taxes than the East India Tea Company.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's just an orgy of dumb in South Carolina.
Corporations and people, my friends.
Liberals pick on them for not being educated.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Exactly. By the way, speaking of the liberal media, the president yesterday, you know, because it is interesting, he blamed the press for his cold and aloof image.
Yeah.
And he was basically saying, you know, I have that image because I don't go to parties. I'm home with my wife and children.
Oh. Right.
I don't party like Newt Gingrich used to. Unbelievable. Yeah, President Obama blames the press for creating the image he's aloof and disconnected from the rest of Washington. He said, my suspicion is this whole critique has to do with the fact that I don't go to a lot of Washington parties, and as a consequence, the Washington Press Corps maybe just doesn't feel like I'm in the mix enough with them, and they figure I'm not spending time. I must be cold and aloof.
Oh, no.
The fact is I've got a 13-year-old and a 10-year-old daughter, and so, no, Michelle and I don't do the social scene because as busy as we are, we have a limited amount of time. We want to be good parents at a time that's vitally important
for our
kids.
How dare he be home with his wife and children, frankly, making me look bad. What a bastard.
What values is
what
that?
An aloof bastard, frankly.
Oh, boy. Let's go to Dee in Chicago. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dee.
Hi. I just wanted to mention that if Calista becomes the first lady, she'll be the first adulterous first lady. We need to launch a Scarlet A campaign.
She may not be the first. Yeah, I don't think she's the first adulteress.
Eleanor Roosevelt is thought to have had a girlfriend.
What? Excuse me?
Never mind.
But she's such a handsome woman.
Exactly.
You're saying she was liberal?
That's the rumor.
29 minutes after the hour, Republican tool Rich Galen next.
Oh, come on.
Strategist.
No.
Strategist.
He's one of the good guys.
He was Newt Gingrich's press secretary. Next.
That young
Stephanie Miller
fills me with hope.
and some other emotions that are weird and deeply confusing me.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. I know what you'd think after last night. You'd think, why would Newt Gingrich ever need a press secretary?
He's got it on. He's got
so cuddly.
Yeah.
Hello, John.
Oh, John Fugelsang's back. Hi, John Fugelsang.
Hello.
You just stepped out for a minute.
I actually think Newt Gingrich is the Obama campaign's press secretary.
Yeah.
Exactly. We actually have Newt Gingrich's former press secretary, Rich Galen, a well-known right-wing tool.
Oh, smile.
Good morning, Republican strategist. Hi, Rich.
I promised to come on if you didn't mention that.
And you believed her?
Rich, I gotta give it to you because that had to be a hard job. That man's a total dirtbag,
well,
in my opinion.
It is something that kind of keeps you on your toes. It's a little bit like being a middle linebacker in the NFL, responsible for whatever comes across the line.
Rich, did you ever think you would see this seriously? That Newt Gingrich is where he is right now?
No, I didn't. I was absolutely wrong. I proclaimed him dead and gone last May, which only goes to prove that I don't know what the hell I'm talking about.
No, you were right.
What's your quick take on the debate last night?
Well, I thought actually Santorum, I thought may have helped himself somewhat, but there was a note of desperation, I thought, in him. When you're down to three legitimate candidates taking Paul out of it for the time being, there is no second tier. Either you're with the leaders, or you're Rick Perry. So I think he may have felt himself slipping, away from the leaders. So he needs to get back in. And the to the extent that he gathered some votes last night, they're going to come right out of Newt's hide. So the winner, I think, was probably Romney.
Really? Because I mean, obviously, I was just saying the new polls out today show Gingrich pulling ahead of Romney.
In the debate, that's what I mean. Well,
in the debate, yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But I mean, I have to give it to him. As odious as I find the man, that strategy, the crowd ate it up.
Yep,
right? Attacking
sure
John King, attacking CNN, because that's the reprehensible behavior, as you
well,
can imagine.
That,
not
yeah,
when he's not.
The elite media, he loves to, that just trips off his tongue. But if you go back, that was the 17th debate, I believe.
Yes.
And, back in the early days of these debates, at least once in every debate, Newt would do that. He would attack the moderator or attack the media, get a standing ovation from the crowd, raise, $1,500 bucks, and be able to go on for another week. I mean, so that was a well-practiced maneuver. I suspect it was a well-practiced response because he certainly knew the question was coming.
Well, yeah, and normally, as you know, to get booed in a Republican debate, you have to be talking about someone dying without insurance or, being gay or black or something like that. But
yes, older.
Yes, but Mitt Romney actually got booed when he tried to be, flip about not releasing his tax returns.
Well, there's two pieces to this, nobody makes these guys run for president, whether it's Barack Obama or Mitt Romney. I mean, nobody says you must run for president or you have to go to, live in the North Pole. So what's going to come at you when you decide to run. I mean, you're going to be completely undressed and you don't have to reveal secrets that you probably haven't told anybody since, you hid the Playboys under your bed when you were in seventh grade. There is that part of it. The other part of it is I think we know a lot about these people. Man, I don't care about Barack Obama's college transcripts. I just don't. Mm-hmm. I don't care, and I don't understand why anybody else cares. But that's the kind of nonsense we live in. It's a 24-hour-a-day Twitter world,
right?
And these things just catch fire. Twitter now has become. I mean, it is the backyard fence of the world. I mean, you don't have to watch a debate. You can just follow the Twitter feeds and know exactly what's going on.
Rich, what's your guess on tomorrow?
I suspect Newt will win here and then go on to Florida. The problem for Newt, though, is still the fact that he can only do these one after the other. And everybody has been talking about how many races there are in January, four within 28 days. But I don't have the list in front of me, but I think there are six in February, 22 in March, and then through April and May, and then it finally ends up in June with the big ones in California, New Jersey on June 5th. But so Gingrich is going to have to figure out how to operate in more than one state at a time, or Romney will just it'll be a war of attrition, and Romney will win that.
Well, is there a chance? I know that I've heard some people speculate about him. Would Romney ever pick him as VP?
No.
Newt.
Yeah, well, Newt would pick his. Yeah, he would want to be his own VP, so he can not only run the world but also the U.S. Senate, which I think he thinks is well.
What?
We're not live, are we?
No.
Rich, you have
can
to tell
me. Can I ask you a question about your tour?
Yes, please.
I went to Amazon, and the problem is every track is named exactly the same thing. Explicit. How do you tell them apart?
They're all explicit in different ways, Rich.
All right. Oh, so are we all.
You know you want it. You want it.
They're hidden under a seventh grade boy's bed.
Yes.
And they're not all explicit. iTunes listed that, but there's a lot of very clean content on there.
Really? So, well, that's not mine.
Let's dirty that up, huh?
Yeah. That's just like, speaking of getting dirtied up, I know they always, you know, there's two tracks of thought. Either, oh, this is good to have a tough primary, toughens up the candidate for the, you know, for the general election, or is someone just going to be unrecognizably bloodied by the time we get to the general?
I don't think either one of those are true. I don't think it makes any difference either way. I mean, remember 4 years ago that Mrs. Clinton and Mr. Obama went toe-to-toe all the way till June, and then as soon as Obama, you know, won, you know, had enough delegates, everybody fell in line, and guess who got to hold his hand up on, you know, January?
Yes. Well, Rich, there's a key difference there. Is we had two spectacular candidates. Yours are a bunch of unelectable boobs, if you don't mind my saying.
Now, you're too young to remember this, but in 1992, the Democratic field was so weak that they were called, in print, the Seven Dwarfs against George H.W. Bush.
Mm-hmm. Well, they weren't that weak.
One of those dwarfs got to be president of the United States.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I can't imagine people, you can't be pleased as a Republican, can you? I mean, you going, really? These are our choices, Newt or Mitt?
I have to write 3 days a week. Chaos is my friend.
who would you have liked to
hear of good feeling? I need kind of this. This is great for me. I got material all the way to June, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, yeah.
Who do you wish had run? Is there anyone that you really wish was in this race?
Yeah, I think Mitch Daniels would have been my guy if he would have run.
Yeah. You think John Thune could have done well, too?
I'm sorry?
John Thune?
Thune might have, but Daniels' background and breadth of experience, I think, is just perfect for what I think we need now. I mean, if I had to bet $20, I'd bet that Obama's going to get reelected.
Yeah.
So, I wouldn't wish that on, you know, anybody I liked.
Well, Mitch Daniels sadly missed the one qualification. You need to be taller than a garden gnome, I think, to run.
No short jokes, honey.
Uh-oh.
Next you're going to do ball jokes, and then here comes the Jewish humor.
Oh, Rich, I wouldn't do such a thing to you. All right. Always a pleasure. Republican strategist Rich Galen, former press secretary. I just have to ask you before you go, what is he like? Personally, what was he like to work for, Newt Gingrich?
He's a very charming guy. He's very good. But you know, it was a daily challenge. He had 15 ideas a day, 12 were
right.
two were fine, and one was deadly. And my job was to make sure we never acted on the deadly.
It's what do you think of Peggy Noonan's angry little attack muffin?
Line
for Newt Gingrich.
But you know, she is. I mean, there's a reason that she has a column in the Wall Street Journal, and I don't.
You'd have a column in every paper if it was up to me. Rich Galen, always a pleasure, sir. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Steph.
All right, so, there he goes.
You can find his writings at Mullings.com.
So a short, bald Jew and an attack muffin walk into a bar.
Jim Louise. Lord, for God's sakes, Diane in California. Hi, Diane.
Hey, listen, first of all, let's talk about the results from Iowa. There are eight precincts that they can't find.
Yeah, just going missing.
Yeah, they're missing. Mm-hmm. And who does voter fraud, the Democrats or the Republicans? They've had a whole year to get this together, and they can't find eight boxes? Give me a break.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I know.
Go ahead.
The
thing is about, wasn't Calista a practicing Catholic when she was laying in Newt's bed?
Well, she didn't get it right yet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. Guess so.
You're right. That being a Catholic, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, he converted to Catholicism to marry her, so she was already Catholic. You're right.
But if you work for Planned Parenthood, you get excommunicated.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Then that's just wrong. All right. How appalling. I'm appalled you would bring that up, John Fugel, saying that is disgusting and appalling.
Tawdry.
I'm sorry, but being a creep of that magnitude is not what the Catholic Church needs this decade. Converted. He made the religion worse.
Will in Pennsylvania. You know what? If this doesn't work for him, maybe Penn State's an option. Yeah, Will in Pennsylvania.
Hey, Stephanie, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, you know, I was thinking, just once, I'd love to see one of these debate journalists
say when Gingrich or any of these Republicans, you know, say something about how they're appalled at a question or something, just once say, you know, go ahead, be appalled, but I'm asking anyway. And how about you stop whining about being asked questions? I mean,
yeah.
These guys like to play the role of being macho and tough. And
well, he whined on Fox News that they were asking stupid questions.
Yeah. Victim, like, victim,
right.
Victim.
Yeah, if Fox News can't ask the right question, then there are no right
exactly.
questions, really.
But you know what? Character counts in a president. And that was a question about Newt Gingrich's character.
Yeah, so, which is why she said she came forward. She said he does not have the character to be
exactly.
president.
Exactly. So this is absolutely appropriate
Jonathan
to ask.
Jonathan Chait had the tweet of the night, John King will never make it out of this room alive.
I'll tell you, Newt Gingrich should have married a CNN anchor, because when you cheat on them, you know they're not going to ask tough follow-up questions.
Right, exactly.
It's
Ken.
True. John King should have stayed on him and said, "So that's a no, sir." I mean, he should have kept on.
Oh,
he
should have said, "So your ex-wife is a liar." What you're saying?
He kind of sat there looking chastised.
Yeah,
which,
I know.
Yep.
Yeah. Ken in Ohio. Hello, Ken.
Yes, Stephanie. You know, when I tell my wife I want to have an open relationship, I always invite my friends and my family over so they can witness.
Yes. Right. Yeah, so you have a lot of witnesses. Nice one. All right, 45 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller. I don't want to play. I just want to bang on the drum all day.
Aha! It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Happy Friday, 50 minutes after the hour. Sexy liberal John Fugelsang in the New York Bureau all 3 hours. So their candidates are a bunch of douche nozzles, as evidenced by the debate last night. Our president was singing Al Green songs at the Apollo.
It's amazing.
And then to know that Reverend Al Green was here. I'm so in love with you.
Wow.
Oh, man. Damn.
That was good.
And then he says, and then he says,
those guys didn't think I would do it.
Yay! He's cute and handsome, and he can sing.
Let's hear Newt try that.
Yeah.
He's handsome and romantic, isn't he? President?
get Kalinda and the saxophone behind him.
Yeah, there you go.
Carl in Nashville. Hi, Carl.
Guys, you cracked me up.
Thank
you. I was watching the debate last night, and I just find it so fascinating that the party of family values sat up there, and three hypocrites sat on stage with Newt Gingrich, and they said nothing about his lack of family values.
Yeah,
so I'm like, what? This is what you do. You do war. You do religion, you do race baiting, and family values.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, the pillar of your platform, you're just stepping away from because one of your own don't have family values.
Yeah, now that's not important. Right.
Hypocrites, that's what they are.
Yeah,
well, they're also cowards. They're also cowards because they knew that crowd would boo them.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, this is they're also really violent. Have you, Newt Gingrich fundraises off saying he wants to punch Obama in the face.
Wow.
They sent out a fundraising request to supporters touting that the former speaker said he wants to knock Obama out because, as the subject of the email line suggests, a bloody nose just won't cut it. The comment comes from a recent town hall where a questioner asked Gingrich how he would bloody Obama's nose. I don't want to bloody his nose. I want to knock him out, Gingrich responded. This is exactly why Newt Gingrich is the candidate who must face Obama, his campaign spokesman says in an email right above a bright red donate button.
Yeah.
Shouldn't the Secret Service be called with a threat like that?
They should go to his house and, well, no, I'm not going to say that.
Is the angry little attack muffin home, or is he out somewhere else, Calista? Yeah. Just out of curiosity, I'm sure it's like a 50-50 chance as to whether he's actually here or
instead of hitting the president, take
else.
A shot at me. Go ahead. Give me your best shot. Come on. Try it. Just try it.
You doughy pantload. All right, let's...
Doughy pantload, did you just say?
Yes.
That should be the name of our next album.
Well, that was actually Jonah Goldberg's nickname.
Initially. Oh, it's brilliant.
Yeah. Transferred to Gingrich.
Yes. All right, let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing. Oh, heavens! Oh. Noted adulterer, Rush Limbaugh.
Rush
defending
Limbaugh.
Serial adulterer, Newt Gingrich.
Newt may weather this, because I don't know how much of it is really unknown to people. And the divorce rate in the country is 50%. And there are a lot of... I mean, the angry ex-spouse is not something that's unique in this culture.
And you would
know.
Everybody has an angry ex-spouse.
What? Bill Clinton doesn't.
Everybody's had an OxyContin problem and goes to the Dominican Republic on weekends for fun with us.
Everybody does it.
Not everyone has three like you do and are on your fourth wife currently.
Wow. That's true. They're making him the victim. Cover of Fox News. Newt stares down demons' rivals. What demons? He's the demon.
Yeah.
It's his
behavior.
Are they calling CNN demons for asking that question?
Very salacious allegations made by an ex-wife.
Limbaugh actually went further into saying that Gingrich is the real victim here.
He said,
I understand why the media is printing me so upset. Limbaugh went on to read a great note from a good friend of mine, which posits that Newt and not Marianne, who he left shortly after she was diagnosed with MS, is the real victim here. Mm-hmm. Moreover, the fact that Gingrich asked for permission to cheat on his wife is a mark of character in my book.
Stupid bitch,
he was doing it for 3 years. He asked permission.
She had it coming. She got sick. True. Damn fault.
Oh, dear God. Okay.
Wow.
Megyn Kelly, she's one of them. They're straight news anchors on Fox. Yeah. And
there will be questions raised by the American people about the timing of the interview, of its release. And about Marianne Gingrich's credibility. Of course, she must have known that before she sat down with ABC. It's the first time she's done this on camera since the divorce, is what we're told.
Mm. Mm. Yes, so clearly she's lying.
Yeah. She clearly lacks the credibility of a Kathleen Willey.
God. All right, Sean Hannity on mittens and tax returns.
They want Mitt Romney to release his tax returns.
Mm-hmm.
Well, wait a minute. Where's all the history of Obama? Transparency, his college transcripts, his writings. Yeah. Where are they? Let me tell you why they're not going to release it. Because he probably expressed his radical views in detail.
Sure.
Sure,
Radical views.
That's probably... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's why all the hardcore liberals are mad at Obama, because he's such a radical.
Yeah.
You know, it's like... It's like
the fact that he was a Nazi who hates black people.
Right.
Brian Kilmeade.
He's a communist and a Nazi.
Yes, exactly. Brian Kilmeade on Fox and Friends.
Let's talk about an outrage. Outrage yesterday. The White House says, we are not going to build the XL pipeline. And they're essentially offended that they're being forced to make a decision. Forced to make a decision that's been analyzed for 3 years.
Yeah. Yes, and found to be incredibly dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
The one that's already up there is already poisoning parts of Minnesota. I think it's Minnesota, yeah.
Yeah, that's the outrage, not Newt Gingrich's... Okay, Andrew Tantaros on the five.
I think the recession hurt a lot of those millennials because they were expecting to get jobs. A lot of my generation was getting jobs when they were in college. A lot of them had to move home with their parents. Yep. Their parents didn't have the money to spend on them to move to a city like New York, so they had to go work at the Blockbuster Video and be humbled a little bit. I think the recession was good for kids.
Blockbuster is the best you can hope for. It's good for you.
I can't wait for these guys to have to debate these points in front of debate audiences that aren't just Republicans who want to be lied to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Because the real people are not going to like these arguments at all.
Nope.
Yep. And the super PACs are already striking.
Hey there. Looking to spice up life in your boudoir? Then head on out to the new Frank Lee Triple XPlex. This weekend, Frank's offering 25% off all new major video titles like Moneyballs, Whore Horse, and Tinker Tailor Soldier Boy. Be sure to check out Frank Lee's adult toy collection with such big sellers as the Trickle Down, the Patriot Missile, and the Job Creator. Mention you heard this ad and get an additional 15% off anything in our new Santorum section. Interested in earning a few dollars? Ask about our openings in part-time janitorial work. Come to Frank Lee's Triple X Flex on Highway 41, right next to Rick Perry's Country Bunker.
This is Frank Lee.
Oh, Frank Lee.
Come on out. You'll be glad to change, frankly.
No. Why would they need janitorial work at a place like that, I wonder?
Ew. Ew. Yuck. Okay. Wow. So tomorrow is the when? What time will we start having results tomorrow in the South Carolina?
After the polls close, probably around 6 or 7 or 8 Eastern.
We got to
like
work
that.
On a Saturday now.
Well,
dear God. All right.
Or you could just watch, you know, all of the coverage about it on Sunday morning.
That's true. When it, my hangover.
Yeah, exactly.
What's that?
With Bob Schieffer.
Exactly. All right.
Hey, I love that guy.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah, he is awesome. And I'm so glad they're expanding that show to an hour.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right.
That guy asked top follow-ups.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. 58 minutes after the hour, back with the, we have guests, we have celebrity stack, we have sexy liberal John Fugelsang live in New York as we continue Fridays with Fugelsang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Hee-haw, it is The Stephanie Miller Show. Up to it. 6 minutes after the hour. Happy Friday. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, StephanieMiller.com. Stephanie Miller Show on Facebook. Don't forget SexyLiberal.com, SexyLiberal on Facebook. And the man, the sexy liberal, the myth, the John Fugelsang, in the New York Bureau for Fridays with Fugelsang. We are off to Philly next, February 4th. Get it. It's going to be a par and then a tay.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff is selling out fast, I'm telling you. Phoenix already sold out, and then up after that, getting there. Come on.
Stephanie Miller, sexy liberal comedy tour. Took the Windy City by storm in 2011.
Vengeance Chicago!
Because of overwhelming popular demand, your favorite progressive comedy trio is taking it back to Chicago.
Chicago, show me love up in the club.
On March 3rd, at the height of the Republican primary season, insightful satirist John Fugelsang, mischievous heartthrob Hal Sparks, and the stunning seductress Stephanie Miller will perform live at the world-famous Chicago Theater.
Bring it!
Tickets are available online at Ticketmaster.com by calling Ticketmaster at 1-800-745-3000, and tickets can be purchased at the Chicago Theater box office. Join this record-breaking comedic revolution. It's your best remedy against right-wing distortions.
That's Chicago.
Second City, don't miss this second chance at sexy liberal splendor.
Back up once again by the Chicago Blues All-Stars, my good friend Dr. Dan. So that again. Just
your former producer.
My former producer, exactly. Wow. Some people go on to make something of themselves.
I know, and some people get stuck with you.
Sucks to be you. All right.
I was in Chicago all week, by the way, and I met quite a few people who were at our last show. And,
oh, cool.
They're very excited to have us back at the Chicago.
I hear it was very cold there this weekend.
It was snowing every day.
In Chicago, it's cold?
Shorts weather.
That in Chicago?
Weather.
It's impassable.
In Portland, they were all wearing shorts. It was 30 degrees out.
John, so we all have our travel horror stories for Sexy Liberal Show. Like, for instance, the time you couldn't get a plane back to New York and you had to drive from Asheville, North Carolina.
14 hours with Roland the Booker in a white stretch limo through West Virginia.
That's like riding on top of Mitt Romney's suit.
Like a really long, horrible prom date.
Yeah.
Yes, it was.
I imagine Roland being so high strung that he just clung to the ceiling of the car the entire time.
And then he pooped all over the dog carrier.
No, he strapped him to the roof because Roland was just too high strung and annoying.
My wife read like 300 game books on that one drive.
Oh,
yeah, it was crazy.
God.
But yeah, that was, and why inside every limo, it's still the 80s. I had no cocaine. It was awful.
Yeah, it's awful. However, and I've had my own flight disasters, but thank God I wasn't on this flight. Airline captain tells passengers he has to delay departure so he can watch a video on how to fly a plane.
What?
Well,
it's in the crash position. No, you got to hear this whole story. What's that? Yeah, here's the fun facts on this story. Let's see. American Airlines, I've flown them a few times.
Didn't they just declare bankruptcy?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, that's in this year.
Okay.
Well, yeah. That's what airlines do. I mean, it's...
Yeah.
This is
Hostess and Kodak in the same
this
week.
This is posted Huffington Post, somebody that American Airlines captain gives passengers too much information. We've all experienced annoying airport flight delays, but most of the time we never learn the reason for the holdup. However, on a recent American Airlines flight from Dallas to Jackson Hole, the captain gave us a little too much information, leading me to wonder if someone had injected him with truth serum.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, sometimes you don't really need to know all the, you know. Flight 2599 scheduled to depart Dallas 5:10, but was delayed to 6:10. Slightly irritating. No one went off the deep end because it was now arrived in Jackson only an hour later. This came on the loudspeakers. Ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking. Sorry for the delay, but we're delayed 2 hours coming from Vancouver. We seem to have a little problem. Our hydraulics are leaking, and it wouldn't really be a good idea if we tried to fly that way. Not a good idea at all. I'm sure you'd all agree. So the technicians are going to come try to fix it. Won't be off the ground as soon as they say so. Everyone remained absolutely silent. Also, I've flown into Jackson many times in my life. I used to fly there all the time. I haven't flown in there in 2 years. It's kind of a tricky approach, so before we take off, I'm going to have to watch a video. What? It's required. Well, I'm going to get off the jetway now, and I'll be back in 40 minutes.
Yeah, it's a porn video just for my own amusement, but yeah.
That's not something you tell passengers.
Why
would you tell your passengers that?
It's a pretty tricky approach. It's really dangerous.
I mean, 40, like, yikes. I got to get a little refresher course. Don't worry.
This is like flying over the hump in a DC-3 during a snowstorm. It's really bad.
40 minutes later,
we're probably not going to make it.
The captain was back.
With camel.
I have to go get my jaunty scarf and my helmet. Hang on. 40 minutes later, the captain was back. Ladies and gentlemen, came his cheery voice. Unfortunately, they're unable to fix the hydraulics, so we're going to have to change planes. It'll take about an hour to get the new plane out of the hangar, clean it, get it to the gate. You may now deboard, but please check the departure signs because we don't know which gate the new plane will arrive.
Yeah, the landing gear could collapse in any minute.
Yeah,
so
exactly. 2 hours later, they finally announced the American Airlines flight to Jackson Hole was now boarding. The captain announced, "Welcome back! Sorry about the long wait. The plane had to be cleaned, and I don't just mean the seats needed to be cleaned. The restrooms were smelly, and the whole plane smelled foul. And we certainly weren't going to let you on board with it smelling like that. That would be a horrible way to fly." Again, silence.
Wow!
We said, I mean, somebody had cabbage on that last flight. What?
He
too much
didn't
of...
say that.
And he's now the president of the airline.
Yes.
Wow.
We sat on the runway.
Apology.
Suddenly the captain's voice boomed over the loudspeaker again. "Well, folks, we seem to have a new problem. The left door just in front of the engines won't close, and because it's right in front of the engine, we don't think flying would be a very wise decision. I sure you agree. So we're going to go back to the gate and fix it." 10 minutes later, we're sitting at the gate. The captain announced, "We're going to have two mechanics out there, and what they're going to do is take the door completely off and put duct tape around all the edges." That's right, folks. Duct tape. "And then we're going to put the door back on, and that'll keep it closed for our flight." No one said a word. Duct tape? Half an hour later, we took off. 3 hours later, arrived in Jackson Hole. That was entirely too much information, however.
I bet he made them watch a Channing Tatum movie on top of all of that.
Sahara in Ottawa on Newt Gingrich. Hello, Sahara.
Hi,
or Sahara,
Stephanie.
Sorry, go ahead.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
I'd like to give myself a title. One is I'd like to give myself the official title.
We have a few of bad phone.
I finally get a groupie and they're static.
Yeah, exactly.
How may get all, you know, the groupie love, but, you know, you're my number one stud muffin, John.
Oh, thank you. God bless you and your low standards and poor lighting.
Exactly. No.
Yeah, I'd also like to bring up Newt Gingrich's remarks towards Muslim Americans. You know, a lot of talk towards kind of Black Americans because it was so blatant. But a lot of people are not really focusing on the remarks he's made over the long time towards Muslims until even recently where he was asked.
Oh, boy. Sierra, you have a crappy phone but really good taste in men, so we're going to have to let you go, but I love you.
Oh, you hear me now?
Not really. Okay.
I only have groupies who have AT&T service in magnetic fields.
No, that was a Sports Illustrated sneaker phone.
A sneaker phone, mm-hmm. Yeah. We have finely tuned radio ears.
And I also want to say that.
All right. Tell him if he doesn't, Damien, leave his severed head Hollywood Hill. What? I'm sorry, what?
What?
Yeah, my groupie calls sound like ransom notes.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right. Little Dumber Boy, don't go.
Here's
today, I am suspending my campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And endorsing Newt Gingrich for President of the United States.
Mm. Wow.
I believe Newt is a conservative visionary who can transform our country. We've had our differences, which campaigns will inevitably have.
And I really think he's
an
a-hole.
Newt is not perfect, but who among us is? The fact is, there is forgiveness for those who seek God.
Mm. Some of us are a tiny, scoshy bit more perfect, though, than Newt Gingrich. Don't you think?
Yeah.
All right.
A little bit. Can I just say, if only Republican voters had learned how to reject illiterate corporate sock puppet oil men in Texas 12 years ago, none of this would be happening right now.
Exactly. Rick Perry.
I know when it's time.
It's time to go.
To make a strategic retreat.
Gotta know when to hold.
So I will leave the trail, return home to Texas.
Home trail.
Wind down my 2012 campaign.
My partner.
And I will do so with pride. Mm. Knowing
you've done
I
no good.
Gave fully of myself of a cause worthy of this country.
Mm. What, rehearsing?
Yeah, you've done real good.
I gave myself preposition not good talking.
Yeah,
Oops.
It's real good what you've done. Yeah.
I didn't let them waste my time on practice.
All right. And Newty.
I was very honored and very humbled.
Humbled?
To have Governor Perry speak so well about endorsing me just a few minutes ago as he withdrew from the campaign.
Yeah.
Oh,
speak so well.
With his speak and spell.
Yeah, he speaks real, real
also,
good.
So, Newt, forgiveness. And conservative. Where's my barn coat?
It was great hearing him talk about the governor with the most executions in American history, talking about how God always forgives.
Yes, exactly. Sometimes
I won't. But.
Mostly, John, as you know, my dreams do not come true. I was hoping he would come out in the Heath Ledger jacket and gay Mary Newt Gingrich, but no. Sadly for me, no. But it was on to the big debate. Yes.
Welcome, one and all, to the South Carolina GOP debates. We've combined this event with our annual calf toss, cross burning, and youth awareness program. Don't worry, children. We'll tell you who the bad ones are. And we'll also give you a free mug and hat for participating. The GOP debates. It's different, all right.
That's Ken in Cleveland actually did that one. Thank you, Ken.
Thank you, Ken in Cleveland.
All right, 17 minutes after the hour. More with Fridays with sexy liberal John Fugelsang on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my God. That's like my favorite show ever.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the down Stephanie Miller Show. 21 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. The phone number. Joe in Long Beach. Hey, Joe.
Hey, Steph. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, look, that was great hearing the president sing at the Apollo Theater.
Yes.
And if I'm not mistaken, that lyric was from the Al Green song titled Let's Stay Together.
Yes,
it was.
Yes.
A song that I'm not expecting Newt Gingrich to be singing anything.
Hi, look what you did there. You took one thing.
Let's stay together, frankly. Well, not for very long.
Let's stay together
until someone younger comes by.
Sick.
Stay together with this prenup. By the way, I want a divorce.
Maria in Chicago. Hi, Maria.
Good morning, Steph. Good morning, Luke.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I can't stop giggling about the fact that Newt was so indignant about being asked about his infidelities and cringing over the notion of an open marriage and how many women are exactly throwing themselves at you, Newt? This is something you need. Apparently, money is making women blind just all over the world.
Yeah. The unfortunate effect, Maria, of them asking him those questions is me having to picture him naked.
I know, and I poured bleach in my eyes. I'm recovering, but the images are still there. It's really painful.
I know.
But I'll say one thing. Marianne said all those horrible things, and Calista didn't even blink.
Hey!
See what you did there, John Fugelsang.
Hey, I'm trying to, because I'm a helper. I'm trying to find a bigger jerkbag than Newt Gingrich today. Just, married police officer sacked for having sex with 5 women while on duty.
Wow.
Once, I hope. That's protecting and serving.
Yeah.
He charmed the women while patrolling the streets before having sex with them at his police station and in their homes. Wow. In one case, he slept with Joanne somebody in the station boiler room.
That's romantic.
So that's hot.
Yeah.
Wow, what a player.
Up against
an old filing cabinet.
After pulling her over for failing to wear a seatbelt. Wow, is that the penalty? You have to get Against a boiler?
Ow!
Okay, I'll wear my seatbelt.
Wow. And I thought you were hot before.
Right. Hey!
Hey!
Just like in porn films.
Mm-hmm. Dumb crook stack, a couple caught trying to blow up a car with flaming tampons.
Don't you hate what?
Let's just get to the part about, was there alcohol involved? Yes,
yes there was.
Yes, indeed, there was. A man and woman accused of trying to blow up a car by setting fire to tampons, which they intended to drop into the gas tank. The car was, of course, outside a bar. That's something in a bar that
of
you
course.
Would go.
You've got flaming tampons
you know what would be
in a
funny?
Bar.
How about we light some of my plugs and we got there?
Is that what you girls call them?
Yes. Okay. You girls.
Well.
Oh, this is a shocking headline to nobody. Romney earns the most endorsements from former CEOs with $100 million plus golden parachutes.
What?
Huh.
You don't say.
Huh. Wow, his own tax plan would cut his taxes in half. Isn't that something? Because he's paying too much now. Yeah. Ever like that. Former South Carolina GOP chair calls on Romney to do the right thing and release his tax returns at this point. John, when is he going to have to do this? Is he really going to get
Barack
away
Obama
with this?
Still, why is Obama still raising money to run against these guys? I mean, it's hilarious. He should give all that money to Senate campaigns for the Democrats. They need it more.
Although, who knows what the polling this far out. The Republicans did a poll, which I'm not sure I'd trust this because it's not a neutral poll, but it shows Mittens leading President Obama by competitive margins in five general election swing states.
That's great. Well. That's before anybody knows who Mitt Romney is.
Exactly.
Only us political nerds know it now. Wait till the rest of America sees what a blue-eyed hunky devil he is.
I think he just runs that ad with him singing the Al Green song.
And Herman Cain, by the way, is getting on board to derail Mitt Romney. Herman Cain is showing up at Colbert's rally this weekend.
Oh God, I
which
know.
Which is incredible because, I mean, I love what Stephen Colbert
and which
does
was the better performance art, what Colbert is doing or what Cain did? Who can say?
I know, it's the closest we'll come to seeing Andy Kaufman work with Stephen Colbert. But
yeah.
I love what Colbert is doing with the super PAC because, number one, it's entertaining. Number two, it's educating people beyond us news nerds how evil Citizens United is. But number three, it's making this campaign go on longer. It's hurting Mitt Romney.
Yep.
And by participating, Herman Cain is signing on to suck votes away from Mitt Romney and South Carolina. So.
And it's such a thing of beauty to see them whining like little babies. About, I don't, these super PACs are what, they're bad. What? How did this happen?
Mm-hmm.
Right? After they were cheering Citizens United. No.
But that seems like the one issue where our liberals and our conservative friends can come together on this and fight it and say how bad it is and how the Roberts Court was wrong. And I'd like to think that Mitt Romney will accidentally lead some conservatives to find morality on this issue.
Mm-hmm. Nancy Pelosi, by the way, seizing the moment. Insisting a millionaire surtax should be part of a deal to extend the payroll tax holiday.
Heck yeah.
She called the surtax the simplest, easiest way to pay for a package that would include extension of the payroll tax holiday, jobless benefits, and Medicare reimbursement for doctors.
Mm-hmm. But they're job creators.
This is a middle income tax cut, Pelosi said. It's not going to be paid for by a penalty to the middle class. So you have another idea? Tell us why the surcharge is not the best way to go.
Yep.
Bush
gave them. Bush gave away the Clinton surplus to the richest Americans, mm-hmm. and it didn't work. So we're taking it back.
Yeah.
Yep. By the way, I was saying earlier this week, Pelosi said she's fine with the president running on a do-nothing Congress because she said that's these Republicans. That's it's true. Obama was talking about. He said it's not like socializing with congressional Republicans has done anything to boost his legislations and legislation and attempts at bipartisanship. He said in terms of Congress, the reason we're not getting enough done right now is because you've got a Congress that's deeply ideological and sees a political advantage in not getting stuff done.
Mm-hmm.
John Boehner and I get along fine. He probably said Boehner.
Yeah.
We had a great time playing golf together. That's not the issue. The problem is no matter how much golf we played or know how much we yucked it up, he had trouble getting his caucus to go along with doing the responsible thing on a whole bunch of issues.
Can't control his caucus.
Yes.
That's a problem.
It's almost more uncontrollable than Newt Gingrich's.
He got Santorum
all over
his
caucus. That's a patriotic
caucus
that's almost as hard to control as Newt Gingrich's.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly. Gerald in California. Hello, Gerald.
Hi. I was calling and wondering why the left have a set of double standards regarding all issues related to Republicans and Democrats.
What do you mean?
When Clinton had his affair with Monica Lewinsky and lied about having it, it cost the taxpayers $44 million to go through an investigation.
Because you had to do a witch hunt about his personal life, right?
Shifting the Whitewater investigation to Lewinsky cost the taxpayers all that money.
You
and he was cleared of Whitewater charges.
Clinton lied about it. And
do you think that's the same thing as leaving two wives who got sick after cheating on them? Do you think that's the same thing morally?
You're missing the point. You're missing the point. The left said it is okay, stay out of his personal life. Mm. At least in this case, Newt Gingrich went to his wife and said, this is what I'd like to do.
Yeah, after cheating for several years, he already cheated.
No one on the left.
There's
no double standard. Nobody
is
on the
Newt
left.
Is Newt Gingrich criticizing Bill Clinton for doing the exact same thing he was doing at the exact same time?
Yeah. And no one on the left wants to kick Newt Gingrich out of politics. We want him to stay forever.
Exactly.
29 minutes after the hour, we have Andrew Harmon of The Advocate next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I tend to be very impulsive when I'm angry. I'm the reason that you can't bring water bottles into Dodger games.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Sexy liberal John Fugelsang in the New York Bureau. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes. And Andrew Hartman, one of our very personal favorite Washington correspondent for The Advocate, joins us now. Hey, Andrew.
Hey, Stephanie. It's good to be with you again.
Good to be with you, too. Now, I know as a gay, you probably can't really relate to family values, like as exemplified by Newt Gingrich last night in the debate.
I got to say, it was jarring to see Rick Perry yesterday as well endorse Newt as a sort of change agent that we need to bring about a more humble Washington, one rooted with family values. I can't imagine a new presidency, but I don't think humility would exist in any form in our country.
Yeah. Don't you feel, isn't this just some sort of Fellini film? Like, really? All the Jesus-y evangelicals are going to choose him as their moral values candidate? Really?
Well, however mind-bending it might be for some straight voters to understand his position that he believes marriage is sacred vis-a-vis what he's decided to do with his own life, I only try to remind people how even more absurd it is for, a gay voter who lives in probably a state where it's still certainly outlawed and they don't have the right to marry.
Andrew, how much actually outright giggling do you think there will be the next time Newt Gingrich is forced to actually say, I believe marriage is one man, one woman?
I would certainly start the giggling myself. I think his credibility is absolutely shot. I think I certainly think that Santorum's charge of his emotional instability last night will help contribute to his downfall. It's pretty amazing on the campaign for me to see how the rhetoric has softened somewhat, that a lot of anti-gay marriage candidates and their supporters are really trying to be as charming as possible. I certainly experienced that firsthand at the Santorum party in New Hampshire last week. But at the very end of the day, this is still not a matter of policy difference, as we've heard. This is really a matter of continuing to be against gay people serving in the military.
Right.
Against them having the right to marry, to even have to keep a job while they're open in the workplace.
But Andrew, isn't that almost? I have to say, maybe I shouldn't be surprised. But this Republican Party, it's we feel like we've come so far on gay rights. I mean, don't ask, don't tell. I mean, obviously we're even at a point where marriage equality is at majority support in this country, and this to me is like the most regressive bunch of gay bashing candidates I've seen in one primary. What about you?
It's really regretful, and I think 2012 is a very pivotal year, especially on the marriage front. You're seeing a lot of really promising progress in places like Washington State, where there is bipartisan support. I believe there are two GOP state senators who are for this marriage equality bill that was introduced earlier this month. It feels extremely retro, and it also feels, very, very dangerous. There are marriage ballot initiatives that are, harken right back to 2004 in North Carolina for the GOP primary in May, as well as in Minnesota. And it remains to be seen what the GOP may do to support or to get up the vote for those initiatives. And it remains to be seen if Democrats are going to, you know, put their money where their mouth is and fund opposition to these, you know, very mm-hmm. damaging and discriminatory measures.
You know, I was sort of, you know, I think everybody, I'll get your take on whether, you know, it's just Mitt Romney is the, what does somebody call it, the forced march to Mittdom? They have no choice. But, you almost have to, as a family values candidate, you almost couldn't pray for any better than Newt Gingrich to be, you know, the face of their party, right?
It is. I'm just amazed that I never cease to just, it's so ludicrous to me. It's so absolutely ludicrous. And I think as far as, you know, as far as any sort of possibility for Gingrich to move forward on the family values, I don't see that happening. I don't see the support coalescing around him.
Andrew, you know, experts I've talked to today really see Newt Gingrich pulling it out tomorrow, at least in South Carolina. Do you agree?
I think he certainly has a shot from everything that I've seen in South Carolina. I think whether he can actually sustain that in Florida and beyond is certainly a very big question. And like I've had said before, I think, you know, as far as his emotional instability, his grandiosity, I believe is the word last night, will certainly, I can only assume would be his downfall.
Yeah. What do you think ultimately, though? Do you think it's still going to be Mitt, regardless of what happens tomorrow?
I think, as far as the ultimate nominee, it does seem to be Romney. I think he certainly seems to be the presumptive nominee. And it certainly is the candidate that the Obama campaign seems to be most worried about when it comes to LGBT voters, when it comes to making as stark a difference as possible between the president and Mitt Romney.
Andrew,
I think,
how do you feel, you know, the gay community? Because obviously there's been, you know, a lot of, you know, reports about, you know, unrest in the gay community with Obama. But I got to tell you, I'm one that's never understood that. We have made more progress on gay rights in the you know, however 3 years he's been in than we've made in the previous 40. Do you still feel like there's unrest in the gay community?
Well, I think it's position on marriage. I think there are many people who continue to see it as intellectually dishonest or as inauthentic, that he's not quite there yet. When, you know, it seems to me that, it seems to a lot of people that people really consider this more of a political calculation than some sort of wrestling over the issues. So I think that does weigh heavily on voters. I certainly think there are people who believe that in aggregate, all of the changes that we've seen under his administration, whether it's Donastantel repeal, whether it's hospital visitation rights being extended to same-sex couples, or the administration's decision not to defend the Defense of Marriage Act, I think in aggregate they consider that to be proof positive that this is your candidate.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. Well, I you know, like I say, I there's been so many stories that are proved wrong, and I know there's like, oh, there's going to be this enthusiasm gap. I don't see it. I think we're coming into a perfect storm between the 99% movement, the Occupy, mm-hmm. and, you know, and the, to me, just their disastrous Republican field.
And
so,
the improving economy. The economy is making, great improvements. So.
Yeah.
Are you all amused by Rick Santorum trying to deflect criticism by talking about the horrible homophobia in Iran?
Yeah.
I think the Santorum spin on his anti-gay stance is just been absolutely amazing to watch. Kate Kendall with the National Center for Lesbian Rights wrote this amazing op-ed for Advocate.com yesterday, talking about how the spin, the use of his wife to call on gay people against what I think she called backyard bullying against her husband. It's so ludicrous and so beyond the point. When you actually look at his record, when you look at where he would stand as a president, I can only imagine the judges he would nominate and their positions against gay rights. It is maddening to see people like Santorum actually claiming that they are victims in this.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, his first act as president would be to eradicate homophobia in Iran.
Yeah.
That would certainly
call the American homophobes
sure
who hate Iranian homophobes.
Extremely concerned. Andrew Harmon, Washington correspondent for The Advocate. Always a pleasure, my friend. Talk to you soon.
It's a pleasure. Thanks, Ben.
All right. There you go. Bye,
Andrew. Yay!
John Pickles saying, you know, everything that sexy liberal gives money to wins.
Yes.
Recalls in Wisconsin. Yeah. How's about this? 72% in Ohio want to stop fracking after the earthquakes. Yeah, they think perhaps they should take a little pause while they study why there's a lot of earthquakes in Ohio.
That was our second charity we helped was the anti-fracking measure right. from NYPERG at Syracuse.
Yep, in upstate. 72% of voters polled say there should be a halt in fracking while they, just see if there's any, connection between the earthquakes.
Mitt Romney wants to start selling frack water.
Yeah.
Comes in a bottle and flammable if you need them.
But fracking is clean and safe, just like nuclear power.
Wait, what's my faucet.
Relentless commercials about it on the news.
Yeah.
Will in California. Hi, Will. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Morning, guys. Saw you on Friday in L.A., and I didn't know what was better, Jim doing Mick Jagger or Rebecca being snarky, but they were both great. And Friday's, the last half on Friday always goes off the rails, my favorite time of the week.
Yes.
But what I wanted to suggest was that maybe you ought to rethink a phrase you're using. You keep saying that Newt might pull it out tomorrow in South Carolina.
Yeah. Yes, I know.
Sure
that's
you want to use that?
Yeah. Dave in Chicago. I'm sorry, Jim, yes?
Hi.
We should say he might whip it out.
Dave in Chicago.
Stephanie, you need to behave yourself. Mm. Be good.
Why?
The naughtiness. I love it. We try so hard to be disappointed in you, but I just can't bring myself to do it for very long. I keep coming back.
I know.
I just wanted to say about the constitutional amendment attempts to ban gay marriage. I mean, if it's supposed to be the Defense of Marriage Act, they need to include another amendment. If gays can't be married, then multiple marriages need to be discouraged, and adulterers need to be stoned.
Yeah.
Actually have stones thrown at them.
Yes, I got it, yes.
Get stoned.
Well, hang on now. Marriage is sacred between a man and a woman, but sometimes a man needs a little sacred on the side.
There you go.
They need a Defense of Marriage from Newt Gingrich Act.
Von Thiel in Asheville, John Fugel saying fangirl. Hello, Von Thiel.
Good morning, all. I just felt like there has not been enough talk about how totally awesome Fugelsang was on the Ed show last night.
Wait, it has been discussed previously this morning.
But not enough.
All right.
To the point where my husband was watching Fugelsang, and Fuller and I were watching Parks and Rec, we had to turn it off.
Yeah.
And Fuller, who usually protests these things, was like, hey, he's good.
That dreamy John Fugelsang's on, and
he's
cute. Funny.
Well, and he goes, do you know him? I said, not as well as I would like.
Little tart, Von Thiel.
Anyway, right. Nice job. I hope you get a chance to do it again.
Yay.
Thank you. I did tell Ed that he has to join you and me on stage sometime on one of the shows.
That would be awesome.
Yes.
What did you talk about?
We talked about the Herman Cain and the Super PAC with Colbert. He wanted to talk about, in a sense of political comedy and talking about satire, because I do think that most of our great satire in America is through animation, and Colbert is one of the only real live-action satires we have. And the difference of satire and parody is like Weekend Update. We're making fun of a newscast. Colbert is defending his targets, and that's why he's so brilliant, and that's why he tricks so many low-wattage Republicans into thinking he's one of them.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, here's another shocking... No, this will surprise nobody. Survey, Republicans trust Fox News and nothing else.
Oh, God.
Yes. While Democrats trust most news outlets to varying degrees, Republicans trust only a single one, Fox News. A massive 73% of Republicans trust Fox News.
Wow.
Fair and balanced. Fox News. All right. John Braves going over there as well. Oftentimes.
Yeah, I go there all the time.
He's a braver man than I.
Over to Pravda. Yeah. I'll go anywhere that invites me. I play to church groups and atheists. I go to Fox. I do Fox and Friends all the time. There's a lot of great people who work there. A lot of people who work there who get a good paycheck and they know how goopy the channel is. I mean, there's no greater feeling than cracking a Bill O'Reilly joke on a Fox News show and seeing the entire crew crack up.
Yeah.
But, you can smell the sulfur when you walk in. I won't deny it.
I know. Why make it so I never get invited back? Because it's in West L.A. during rush hour. What? No. During cocktail hour? No.
Please.
And two, irritating. It's just irritating.
Yeah.
They invite you on to bash you.
Yeah.
They invite you on to make you a pinata.
And the topic is always topic is always like a setup to make the liberals look like doofuses.
Exactly. Yeah. And so Gretchen, there's no reason for you to do that.
Yes.
Well, Gretchen tried that with me once, but you know what you do? What I do when I'm with them, and it gets like that, and it gets ugly. The weekend Fox and Friends is quite delightful, actually. But with you just begin every sentence with, But wouldn't a real conservative point of view be this? Because whatever they're arguing is usually against what's actually conservative. These guys spent years defending Bush. They want to talk about Fast and Furious, about the White House sending guns to drug runners in New Mexico, and I'm like, you grease up your nose to insert it inside Oliver North, who sent missiles to the same Iranians who killed our Marines in Beirut.
Uh-oh.
Wouldn't a real conservative be upset about that?
Yeah, they don't like you bringing up Oliver North.
John's too charming to get disinvited. They don't even know that they've been, like, shivved.
Yeah. Use their own logic against them. Yeah. Reagan and the Bible make it really easy. Yeah.
John hypnotizes the women. They don't know the description.
Oh, stop Carlson's it.
He has Dr. McDreamy hair. I don't know what he just
she
said.
She does not like me, Gretchen. But I've made progress with Ducey.
She doesn't like many people, I've found.
She doesn't seem pleasant. 48 minutes to the hour. Right back with the remaining moments of Fridays at Buglesang on The Stephanie Miller Show.
See? We're having a nice time.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show. Etta James has passed away. I love her.
Yeah.
Well, you know me. You guys have been to my house. I play Seriously Sinatra 24/7 because I'm old.
Yeah.
And I am Norma Desmond. Yes.
She was played by Beyonce in Cadillac Records.
And this is her most famous song, but my favorite song of hers is Love in Arms. That is the most gorgeously haunting, sad song ever.
She's awesome. Yeah. I'm all about the jazz. I think Max and Fred are trying to grow opposable thumbs. Can't we put it on Coffee House or something? Hot jams? Oh! Enough with Sinatra! Sue in Rockville, Maryland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Sue.
Hi. Oh, that's so sad. She was just a wonderful performer.
Yeah. I know.
Oh, my goodness. But and I am very late. You know, I like to make my own comedy, but I read two things this morning that I just thought we have to share. Because Andy Borowitz just reported in the latest poll, it turns out Gingrich is leading Romney 3-1.
Hi, I'm the slave in the haven. All right, then. Don't you love, in the wake of the Newt Gingrich thing last night, that the biggest outrage morally, John, in the country was a toddler cussing on Modern Family?
Oh. And she didn't even cuss.
No.
No, she said fudge, and they pixelated it. But it was, Stu Levitan, the creator, said we thought it was a very natural story since as parents we've all been through this.
Exactly.
We're not a sexually charged show. It has a very warm tone, so people accept it more.
How dare you?
Yeah.
It was a very funny episode.
Create the illusion of a child pretending to say a word, which she didn't.
Exactly.
People get so upset about children and profanity, but every curse word I have ever learned in my life, I learned from another child.
Yes. You'll have to deal with this soon, John Fuglesang, daddy-to-be.
I'm a little foul-mouthed Irish kid, absolutely.
Yeah.
Being the Pogues.
Yeah.
Hey, can I make a quick announcement?
Well, yeah, and I was going to say, and I'm going to have to deal with it, too, because as you know, the guy that owns the show that's trying to kill me for the life insurance money is going to make me do sexy liberal forever until I'll be doing it with John and Hal's sons.
That's right.
Has Lisa started cursing yet?
Stop it!
Oh!
John and Hal's sons will just push me out on stage in a wheelchair. You wouldn't treat me this way if I wasn't in this wheelchair.
But
your father's never treated me like this. You're doing your teabagging wrong, sonny. All right, yes, sir. Go ahead.
The junior mooks. Well, I just want to say I'm bringing my Drama League nominated solo show for one night at New York City at the Queens Theater, which is this gorgeous. I never heard there was a theater in Queens, and then Robert Wool asked me to do a play reading at this beautiful 400 seat room, and so they asked me to bring my off Broadway show back. We're going to be bringing it on the road again this year. And it's the first time I've done it since my dad died. It's about my parents' love story and a lot of bad behavior on my part. It includes my David Duke on Bill Maher story. And so I'm going to be doing that next Saturday, the 28th, at the Queens Theater. And you can go to queenstheater.org or to my website to learn more about it. And I would love to see all y'all in the Tri-State area there. Thank you.
Yay! Seth. Please and thank you. All right. hey, speaking of the gays in show business, Neil Patrick Harris can't wait to marry his partner, David Burka. They've been engaged for over 5 years. I just thought this was funny. He said, I'm not the biggest fan of the word partner. It either means we run a business together or we're cowboys. He's cute and funny.
And he doesn't like the word boyfriend either, because that means something kind of transitory.
Yeah, well, right. It means it could be like 5 minutes ago, you know.
Evil's my boyfriend!
All right.
But I don't like spouse either. Some guys just say my spouse.
That's too clinical.
My spouse. Yeah, it just sounds like...
My favorite is my significant bother. Okay, celebrity douche nozzle of the week, John Fugel saying Mark Wahlberg. Did you hear
so
this?
Awful. So stupid. Oh,
he was this time.
He was scheduled to be on one of the planes that crashed into the World Trade Center. I thought I read this wrong. I'm like, you didn't say this. If I was on that plane with my kids, it wouldn't have went down like it did. There would have been a lot of blood in the first class cabin and then me saying, okay, we're going to land somewhere safely. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Okay. First off, please, you're a 3 foot tall actor. What a tough guy. Oh yeah.
First off, it's like you know. Okay, great, you're in first class. Thanks for inserting that. Yeah. But it's such an insult to assume that the passengers on that plane didn't fight for their lives.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And besides, the planes are flown by remote control under the tower. Yeah. And everybody knows that.
And since he said that, he has walked that back, saying it was inappropriate for him to say something like
that. Yes, he has, to his credit.
Yes, he
but
has.
But he still has to apologize for a lot of bad movies.
Yeah, Planet of the Apes, hello.
Ooh. Speaking of bad movies, by the way, Bridget Nielsen is saying not only has Sly Stone made bad movies, he's bad in bed. Oh, dear.
Oh, no.
Really?
She said he was like a rabbit when they had sex and also admitted his steroid use had an unfortunate side effect. She was on the German version of I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, which in German is...
Ich bin ein... I don't know what celebrity
ich
is.
Bin ein
All right.
Something.
A host asked her, don't your balls shrink when you take steroids? And she laughed and said, yes. So apparently, he's very fast, and he has little itty-bitty ones.
Does Gingrich know she's single?
can you say balls on the air?
I don't think so. Okay. You probably shouldn't have repeated it, or put a spotlight on it.
Great.
If I had any balls, I'd fire you.
Hey!
I had to Vinciga Aya, is what you said.
To talk about his soccer balls in the movie Victory with Pele.
Yes, exactly. That's it.
Thank you, John Fugelsang. You can see John Fugelsang and I in Philadelphia with Hal Sparks February 4th for the very next Sexy Liberal. We will see you on Monday on the Stephanie Miller Show. Thank you, John.
Thank you, Steph. Have a great weekend.
You too.